All right, we're live. This is a new show type I'm trying to do, which is this cool friend episode. When we were doing a lot of live shows in the past, people said the coolest shows you do are with guests. And so I'm trying to do more shows with guests. And today we have my friend. This is actually a friend of mine. This isn't just like made up friend, an actual friend of mine, Greg Babikoff, who's on the show. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Hi, Zach. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And one thing about this new show is we're not going to do it at a set time. It's going to be whenever people are available. Tonight, we're competing with Thursday Night Football. So if you're a Packers fan or a Lions fan, you're going to watch this probably later. But we're definitely competing with Thursday Night Football. Greg, are you a football fan?
Not really. I haven't been into football that much. Just one of those weird things, yeah.
Well, I am. And I'm a big fantasy football player, and I have somebody playing fantasy football right now. I have Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Lions who is playing. So when I get done with this, I'm going to focus on that. But let's get started. Greg, so for those of you who don't know, Greg is a prolific cat boater. We boated a bit here when he lived in Oregon. Stuff like the Wind and the Clackamas, and I don't know where else we boated together. Mainly the Wind and the Clackamas. But Greg went on a take catboats down like waterfall runs like Canyon Creek, and he moved to Idaho and he's got on the North Fork of the Pit a lot. And you're still living in Idaho, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so what have you been doing lately? What's the past, you know, what have you been boating lately?
Summer's been pretty busy. I've been hanging out actually in Idaho, and it's beautiful over here. And I actually haven't been doing a ton of boating this year. We did just get back from the Bear. The Bear was a American whitewater release. It's over in Gracie, Idaho.
Wow.
So that is a super fun run. American whitewater went to bat for us, and they release that twice a year for the weekend. So we had a few people come over from Colorado, a couple of guys from New Mexico, a few from Boise, myself, a couple people from Utah. And that is a super fun run. So. It was great to see everybody.
What's the run like?
It's a short run, and it's pull and drop with the exception of a couple of spots. Boo Boo is the one big class five rapid in it. Mm-hmm. And it's got a big entry hole that you've got to move to the left of, and it's kind of sticky. It's a tight line over there. And I've done 13 laps on it now. And out of all 13 laps, we've had some form of carnage. This is over the last 2 years. So it's a significant run, but it's fun. It's the end of the year. It's flowing. You know, it's always consistent. So it's great to see everybody again. It's, you know, it's like a lot of those runs at the beginning or the end of the season where you get to see everybody that, you know, you only see at one spot usually.
Is this all cat boaters? Is everybody cat boating?
No, we had a couple of R2s. There was a lot of kayakers. The cat boats are kind of new to it. We started going over, and there's a few people that have done it over the past, but I don't think it was a big draw, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so some friends came over from Colorado and they heard about it and told me about it and said, hey, you should come check this out. And so that was 3 years ago. And we've been going back in the spring and again in the fall to run the Bear.
Sweet.
So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's a good, like I said, good run.
It's nice to have those fall runs where there's a release because all the snowpack is done. It's not raining. It's nice.
Exactly.
You probably were doing the same run all summer because it's some sort of dam release, like North Fork Pad or in California, the South Fork of the American. But to have something to just change it up in September is amazing. Something like
that. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And like I said, there's a lot of people that travel from some distances, so it's great to see all of them. And yeah, you know, the circle's growing.
The circle of cat boaters?
The circle of cat boaters is growing. There's a couple of up-and-comers now, so... And my friend Josh and I, he hit me up recently. He says, hey, you know, let's get the North Fork Rendezvous going again. So I think late July next summer, we're going to have a place to camp out and some veterans and some people that, you know, want to get out and see what the North Fork's all about. So Josh's thing is let's bring cat boating back to the North Fork.
What's the North Fork Rendezvous? I've never heard of that.
It's just a get together. Dave Nissen did it years and years ago. And it was just a big group of cat boaters, you know, that got together on the North Fork for a weekend, camped together, ran the river. I'd been to a couple of them and then they kind of broke up over the years. You know, not as many people are running it now. And so it was a chance to, you know, be out there with people that did run it and run different sections of it. So you could put in below, you know, Nutcracker and run Disneyland and S-Turn and take out, you know, above. Or you could run the Swinging Bridge down to Decision Beach, you know, the upper section. There was just different sections. And so it was a great way to see it in different ways with people you were confident with. And so we called it the North Fork Rendezvous. And it hasn't happened in a few years. So Josh got a hold of me recently and says, hey, you know, let's bring this back. I'm all over it. Let's do it. There's people out there that want to do this stuff. So we're going to extend the hand out and the place to do it and put a date on it and
sweet.
Come on over and see what it's all about.
It sort of feels, I mean, I love catboarding. I mean, that's how you and I met, was probably doing the Wind River Gentlemen's Boating Club. I'm guessing that's where we probably met. And when I moved here, there was like 8 or 10 people almost every weekend doing these like gentlemen's club runs down the wind. It sort of died off the past 7 or 8 years. John Meyer moved back, so we've been kind of trying to do it again, but it's like the two of us sometimes.
Yeah.
It seems like catboating sort of dying off. Doesn't it feel that way to you?
It kind of does. And it's... And I don't know if it's dying off altogether. I mean, you still see a lot of people on the overnighter trips. But, you know, as far as the upper end of things, I've seen it kind of, you know, go to the wayside a little bit.
It's a bummer. I love cat. I will capoat if there's people to go capoating with. If I have a choice between like kayaking or capoating or rafting, if there's a capoating crew, I am in because it's just fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you can run stuff a little challenge. Like you can run hard things in the capo, and you go get your practice runs in somewhere, and then work up to some really cool hard thing that's on your list. And that passion for capoating seems to be dying away. That's what I'm seeing.
I think so too, and that's kind of why Josh was, you know, touch bases with me. He's like, hey, let's bring catboating back to the North Fork. You know, it's kind of died off the same way that the wind did. You know, I'm looking to get back over there if I can time everything out right. You know, watch a storm, maybe do a long drive, because it'd be fun to come back to the Pacific Northwest for, you know, a weekend. You know, do an R2 run and find a couple of catboat runs, go over and run the West Fork of the Hood or.
Yeah, West Fork of the Hood's a beast. And there's a new piece of wood in there that makes it really hard on that catboat. It's all like, it was always hard, but now it's even harder.
Is that below the fish ladder or above it?
Above. So it's in the first, like in that first gorge. And so you can put them below it, but at that point you've missed so many good rapids and it's not worth all the effort. So you have like the normal put in, you have the fish, you have this log, which is now kind of runnable on a capo, but sketchy. And then the fish ladder and then the takeout. It's just an absolute mess.
Yep. Well, maybe the beavers will get a hold of it. or high water will push it out, or
it's a really big log. It already moved and it got jammed worse. It's gonna be there for a while.
Bummer.
Well, so Greg, what I want to do is this is a new thing for me doing this thing, and I have some questions I want to ask. I think I'm gonna ask all the people on this segment these questions. So I'm testing out these questions on you just to sort of like get your thoughts about some things that everybody asks about. These are the same questions I get over and over and over. And I answer them, but it's nice if other people who are like really badass can answer them as well. So I'm going to give you these questions. And I'm going to put this new segment up. It's called Cool Friends Questions. And we have a sponsor, GoRafting.com. Have you seen this website, Greg, GoRafting.com?
I have not yet.
It's really cool. They have descriptions of rivers all over the place. And some of them, they have it on an app. So you can, like, if you're doing the Middle Fork of the Salmon, you can get the map and it will tell you where you are on the map and what's coming up on the river.
And oh, that's kind of cool.
It's really cool. So you can view it in a list view or a map view.
So that's a download thing and then you use it offline?
Yep. So the app, they didn't make the app. The app is by some place called Far Out. And you get the Far Out app. They make like hiking maps and I think they do biking maps. But the guys that go rafting make all the rafting maps.
Okay.
You can download photos that go with it. I took it on the Grand Canyon. I thought it was awesome.
You know, that's really cool.
It was so like when I was at mile 20, it's like at mile 21, this is here. It knows where you're at and what's ahead of you.
Right.
So, anyway, they're sponsoring our show now. So these Cool Friends questions are sponsored by GoRafton.com. So we're going to get started.
GoRafton.com.
GoRafton.com. So when and where did you start boating?
I started boating. I'd been around it my whole life. My dad had a drift boat. He grew up in Hood River, was an avid fisherman. My mom grew up at the coast, so we were down at the ocean a lot, playing in the ocean as kids. We went clam digging. But dad was, being an avid fisherman, we spent time in High Lakes in the drift boat. We did the Deschutes a lot. We were always around water. So water was always a part of our life. So at a very early age, as early as I can remember, I had oars in my hand sitting in a drift boat.
You're very comfortable in the water, like more comfortable than the average person. I think The one thing I remember about boating with you that I really appreciate is that you're always like, we're going to get to this question in a second, how do people get better? But you're always like trying to get better. You don't just run the easy line. Like, you're going to take a harder line. You're going to flip sometimes to practice your reflip. Like, you push yourself a bunch. So yeah, you're definitely comfortable in the water. Hey Brandon, that's super nice. Thanks for the nice thing. And which reminds me, if I'm going to go through some questions, if you have questions for Greg, you can put them in the comment section and we'll get to them. All right, moving on. What river did you learn on? I mean, this is different because I feel like you might have gone somewhere the first time, but I have a river that's like where I practiced a ton and got better. So what river would that be for you?
Probably the Clackamas and the Deschutes. So the Deschutes was the first full size raft that I'd rode gearboat down with friends on it. My sister and a couple of her friends, my uncle was on that trip. And I think I was 16 and that was on the Deschutes. And then after that, it was probably the Clackamas on inner tubes, running Barton to Carver and McIver to Carver. Spent a couple of summers just, we went from inner tubes to air mattresses to Sevlar coffins to, I mean, we were stepping up. And then, a few years went by and then got into cat boating on a small cat boat and, you know, spent a lot of time on the Clackamas. I think it's probably where I learned the most.
Yeah. I think the Clackamas is an amazing learning river.
It is. It's a great backyard run. And it was cool because it was close, you know, so you could do it quick.
It's close. Yes. To Portland. Yeah. It's far for me. It's an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's a drive, but from Portland, it's easy.
Yeah, and there was a lot of Portland boaters, you know, that spent a lot of time there. And so that's probably where I learned the most was on the Clackamas.
Cool. We have a question from Zach Finney. Are you still making cat frames?
I am. I'm making some frames. Got a few new things that are coming out at the end of the year. So
cool. If people want to learn more about the frames, where do they go? How do they learn more about them?
Basically just get a hold of me, look me up on Facebook right now. The website is in the works. There's a few other things, like I said, the end of this year, beginning of next year, I've got some things I'm working on. So things will be a lot smoother then. So for now, just look me up on Facebook, shoot me a message. If you want to get a hold of me, you'll find me.
And for those of you that don't know, Greg makes cat frames and they're badass. Like, once Dave Nissen stopped making frames, there's kind of a hole in the badass frame world. And I would put your frames in that like really awesome frame world. Like, I think that your frames are awesome. They look really cool too. They look tough.
Well, thank you.
They look like a jacked up Dodge truck. Like tough, burly American. Like that's what they remind me of.
Yeah. Big bumper on the front and
yeah, they just, you know, that big, that in the front where it kind of goes up and your frames just look cool.
Well, again, thank you. I appreciate it.
Another question is, you start with oars. Is that common
around what's here?
So one of the questions from one of the people watching is, he said you started learning with oars. Is that pretty common in this area?
It's just how you get into the sport. There's a lot of different ways in. Bob Hunt, you know Bob. He was telling me one day he kind of had this breakdown, and I thought, you know, that's pretty accurate. And He says, if you learn on oars, you learn how to read water, you learn how to, you know, run a river with oars, you're the one person that's in control of that boat and nobody else is doing anything except for you. And so it's harder for somebody that learns on oars to get into a paddle boat and appreciate that because that level of trust isn't there. If you get into it with a paddle boat, because that's the only opportunity you have, that's how a lot of people get into it. You're there with a lot of other people. You have a guide in the back. The boat moves differently, but you gain an appreciation for paddling, and then you can, you know, progress into rowing. And not that you can't do one or the other. He says, you know, it's just usually if you start off with oars, you're not going to get into paddling or have as much appreciation for paddling if you go from paddling to rowing. And I was that way, and that's why I wanted to learn, you know, rafts. And I was like, rafts scared me because I was always the guy with oars in my hand. And that's when I joined Oregon Rafting Team and thought, okay, well, these guys are, you know, good. They're, you know, a little on the crazy side. We'll fit right in. So that's when I got into rafting and learned R2s and, you know, how a boat moved and got into racing. And so I think both are, you know, you can get into it any way.
Yeah. I think up here in the Northwest, there's just a lot of multi-day trips, and that's people's goals.
Mm-hmm.
To do multi-day trips. And so usually on a multi-day trip, you're rowing.
Correct. You know, yep.
Like if you're more of a day tripper, that's more paddling, like R2ing, because like if you show up with an oar boat, it's a lot of work. You have to like get the raft, put the frame on, put the oars on. You need a trailer. It's more gear intensive for day trips, but for multi-day trips, you want to row. So I think it depends on people's goals.
Yeah,
for sure. All right. Back to my questions, Greg. Get ready for this. This is going to get good. Oarlocks or pins and clips?
Oarlocks.
All right.
Open oarlocks.
Open oarlocks. Why did you say open oarlocks? Why is that so
important? So this has been on my mind for a while. And to you know, dive into this rabbit hole again, you know, I have learned I like open oarlocks, just the way that it releases energy, the way the oar moves. And I understand why people use pins and clips, and I understand why people use oar rights. And what I'd like to see more of is convertible oar rights, because I've seen more problems with an oar right spinning to where now you miss every stroke and there's nothing you can do in the middle of a rapid to get an oar right fixed unless you pull it, you know, up out of the lock, and then you're swimming around, you know, kind of in the lock with a short oar. Maybe it's too long. You know, you've got other issues going on. But I do understand why people like them. I personally don't, but that's what I'd like to see is more convertibles so that when something does happen, you can pull that convertible out of the way and be back to a regular oar until you can get out of the rapid, get safe, and then, you know, assess your gear.
Are you saying, when you say regular oar, you mean open oar locks?
Yes. See how much I love them? That's just a regular oar.
Even on class five, you run open oar locks. Even on North Fork Payette, that's the.
I do. Yep. For me.
Some sort of retention that keeps you from falling out if like something that holds the oar in place, or if you go down like this, you hold on to the oar and keep going off to one side.
I run the bungee lines, but I'm not holding on to an oar to stay in the boat. The way my frame's built, I can move, you know, my feet.
Oh, we just lost Greg. Man, that's too bad. Maybe he'll come back in a second. Wanderer Soul, thank you so much for joining. That's from India. That's super cool. I'm going to text Greg real fast here and see it happens and see if we can get him back on. And if we didn't, oh, there he is. I can go back to watching football.
Yeah, technical difficulty.
yeah, that's one of the struggles with doing these shows is all the technical stuff.
Yep.
So you were talking about the bungees. You don't like the bungees.
I do like the bungees, but I don't use them as a way to stay in the boat, so to speak. The thing I like about the bungees is when I reflip my boats, my oars are still there. They haven't moved.
Yep.
That's what I love the most about the bungees.
I mean, that's the advantage of pins and clips too.
It is, and I used them for a while, and I ran into problems with it, you know, popping out on me multiple times, and then so it's like, okay, I'll run it a little bit tighter, and then when I had it pop out and it was a little bit tighter, then I couldn't get it back in again. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was just I just didn't care for it. So I kept trying until I found something I did. And I like the open oars, and the bungees on most stuff. I don't have them right now. I've got it. I'm in the process of getting new oars and broken oar on the Bear. So There's always gear, more gear.
And then once you get the gear, there's broken gear.
Okay. And then there's more broken gear.
Next question. Your favorite craft to paddle?
To paddle?
Or to like get down the river. So
Okay.
What's your favorite boat to be in on the river?
I'm a cat boater through and through. Yep. 100%.
Okay. For river knives, do you wear it in your PFD or do you have a knife on the outside of your PFD?
I have one on the outside of my PFD.
Okay. Which one?
I can't remember the name of it. I got it down at Andy and Bax's and it was the squeeze. You squeeze the two handles on the outside and it popped out of the sheath.
Great. Get rid of that thing, man.
I've had that thing for every swim and it has never been an issue.
Oh, no, it's not that the knife is an issue. It'll stay. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. The mechanism is great. Try to cut a rope with it sometime.
Okay.
Go get a piece of rope and try to cut it.
Yeah. So that's the issue. It's not a sharp knife.
Its serrations are so small and just mm-hmm. the shape of the blade. It was originally a dive knife.
But right.
Man, just go out, just get a piece of rope and try to cut it. And then leave it at that.
I will give it a shot.
If you want a badass external knife, I just got this one. This is the Spyderco Enough. Somebody recommended I try this one out if you want external.
Yeah.
That cuts rope.
Okay. And that looks like it had a pretty good sheath. You weren't worried about it popping out or anything? Or
I mean, I just got it. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it's Japanese steel. It says Japan. It says Seiki Japan. Do you see that?
Oh. I can't, Seiki, but Japan. That's okay. Anyway,
but, yeah, they can. that's why I got it. I mean, it's a $150 knife too. It's not cheap. Mm-hmm. But I got it to test the sheath. The squeeze is amazing. It stays. Yep. Like, it stays. It's not going to fall out. But just do yourself. Try to cut rope with it sometime.
I will give it a shot, and I'll respond in the comments later on.
Buy knives based on what somebody else has, and they don't think about trying to cut rope with it. And that's my goal. One thing I'm passionate about now is like finding good river knives. That's why I'm asking.
Yep.
Brandon asks, why cat versus raft?
Because I like the way a cat boat moves down the river, and I like being by myself on the boat, catching laterals and nose surfs. And, you brought it up once in one of our prior interviews, I play my way down the river. So that's fun. That's why I love the oars. I can splash, I can get splashed. I can decide I want to go around a hole. I can look at it in different ways, to decide if I'm going to do it the next time. It's just a lot of fun for me. I enjoy it.
Yeah, catboats are sweet. All right, next question. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Okay. Are you watching the Ahsoka show right now? Are you that much into Star Wars?
No, I'm not. I grew up with it. I've, watched what George Lucas did and the hardships that he went through to make that movie happen. It was a pretty good story.
What's your favorite PFD?
The Universal Rescuer from Extra Sport that is no longer made.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually shopping around right now to buy another one to throw into a bag so that when mine goes out, I've got another one because you're not going to be able to find them much longer.
I'm going to see if I can pull it up here, actually, to see if this is the one. Share screen. Is it this one?
It is that one, yes.
Yeah, this one has 22 pounds of flotation.
Yep.
Not like minimal pocket, but like, yeah, this is a classic. It's a bummer they stopped making this one.
It really is. I've wanted to find out why, or, an NRS makes one that's similar, but it's not this one. That's a super comfortable life jacket. And I was actually, Judy Baumgartner gave me my first life jacket that was one of those. It was yellow. And I was going to run the wind for the first time with Val. And I was working for her at the time. And she's like, here, if you're going to run the wind, you're going to need a new life jacket.
Yeah.
And so she bought me that for Christmas. And yeah, ran that for 10 years until I bought another one. And I've still got it.
This is the NRS one. I think it's actually 23 pounds of flotation. I have a new... a new take on the wind after experience this spring, like
that, right? Yep. I talked to the Scott recently about that at length.
And I mean, there was a lot of takeaways. I could do a whole show on that incident, which I haven't done. And I'd like to, but I think one big takeaway is if you're rowing the wind, you need to have a high float PFD. And Scott did. I mean, he did. If he didn't have a low float PFD, that would have gotten way worse.
Right.
And so I think having a high float PFD for people on rivers where you could take a long continuous swim should be a mandatory thing. Like kayaker PFDs aren't cutting it.
I agree. And that's something that came up years ago, was the style of PFDs that are available. And, you know, there aren't a lot of rafting, you know, PFDs. Everything seems to be, you know, real small and compact in the chest. They're, you know, 15 to 18 pounds, I think. You know, you've got short shoulder straps. And again, for a kayak with, you know, mobility and stuff, you want that. But I don't think there's a lot of, you know, good rafting.
There's not.
Because it's a major issue. Different. Yeah.
I keep spouting like, hey, more flotation, better coverage. And everybody's like, what PFD is that? And I'm like, the only one we really have is the NRS. Is this one? There's nothing out there. I've heard a rumor that Astral is coming out with a higher flow green jacket
sometime
this spring. So that might be worth putting under radar. That might be, you know, a nice replacement for the extra sport one.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I've got years left on this one. I just got it about 2 years ago, but, again, it's like, yeah, I'm seriously consider buying another one to hang on to it for 5 years. So when this one goes bad, I got one.
That's how I am with river shoes. I have these favorite river shoes that I love. Yeah. I went and bought two. They stopped making them. So I went and found two more pair I'm just sitting on.
So yep. So yeah, you know.
Once you find something really good, you want a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I get this question asked a lot, Greg. How do I improve? How do I get better? If I'm a class 3 boater, how do I become class 4 boater? If I'm class 4, how do I get 5? What advice do you have for boaters that want to get better?
Seek people out that are doing the runs that you want to do. Ask them, can I come with you? You know, you start playing with surf holes. You know, surfing in the beginning is a way to have fun on the river. And in the end, it's a way to navigate the river. It's a way to, you know, you can surf a hole if your spacing gets out. You know, you can pause and read the river below you. So it's, you know, not only that, I figured it out years ago, when you learn how to surf and you have fun surfing, you read water differently, as to where before you used to look for the hazards to avoid them. And now you're looking for the play spots, and the hazards are kind of like not even there. It's like, I don't even have to worry about that hazard over there because I'm going over there to catch those two surf waves. And so you start looking at the water and the hazards differently. And then I think seek the people that you want to run with. That's what I did. I sought out Greg Sr. and Oregon Rafting Team and started running with those guys. And we started doing things and, you know, progressing up. And seek the people out that you want to run with. They're looking for new people too. Like you said, there's not a lot of, you know, people that are stepping up. So when somebody comes through the ranks, you know, make it known, get out there, shake some hands, make some phone calls, and you'll find the people to run with.
Cool. Good advice. That's a big one. All right. Drain coolers or don't drain coolers?
Drain coolers.
Why?
Because it's a, you know, it's hard enough keeping a cooler in order. You got a bunch of water slopping around. You're trying to keep stuff on top and stuff makes it to the bottom. And I mean, you might get a, I'm not into the, this whole science of the, you know, the colder for by a couple of degrees or whatever. But I've just found that it's a pain in the butt. Drain that damn thing.
Sweet. Any advice for boat ramps?
Yeah, be ready, be considerate. Don't be the guy that backs his boat down onto the ramp and then puts it together. You know, have your stuff together. Know that there's people behind you, outfitters and private boaters. You know, this both goes both ways. You know, outfitters have to deal with private boaters and private boaters have to deal with outfitters. And yeah, if we're considerate, you know, we're all going to get through it smoother. So I think just, you know, practice a little consideration and be patient. It is what it is.
Well said. Well said. And then what are your current boating goals right now?
I'm looking forward to another trip, to California next spring. Was down there with Nate Hobbs and Nicole and Scott and Jacob came down. Priscilla did a few runs with us. Nate's doing a really cool thing down there. It's a lot of fun. So it's a chance to get a bunch of people together that are, you know, on the upper scale of boating in the class 4 or 5 world. Do some runs together and then hang out and learn from each other, you know, see how each other does it. It was too cool. There was a day we were running the Yuba on the South Yuba, 47 to Bridgeport. And we had a Sabretooth. We had an R2. We had a cat boat. We had an IK. And wow, it was just cool to see that many crafts at that level, you know, on a river that was, you know, really hard to run. So there was some camaraderie there and, you know, people had respect for each other and their crafts. And oh, we had a guy that R1'd it, Conrad R1'd it. So, you know, there was like multiple ways to get down this very difficult river and we were all hanging out together, you know, learning from each other and seeing how each other did it and having a lot of fun. So I did it for the first time this last spring and decided, yeah, I'm definitely coming back for this. This is like a lot of fun.
It's an annual event that Nate puts on.
Yep.
And is it by invite only or can people just tag it? Like how do people?
No, he's looking to get out there. It's, you know, but it is a higher level run. So, you know, have those skills. You know, this isn't something that you come down to and, you know, want to start running this stuff. This is something that you've, you know, progressed to and, you know, have run that stuff and have met those people and, you know, those people probably know about this trip. So he's not saying that nobody can go. You know, it's kind of like, oh, you're going to get all that you want. Let's just see if you want what you're going to get. You know, we did the South U, but we had two people hike out both days that we ran it, both laps. Wow. So
like something went wrong or they just got on and said, this is way over my ability level.
A little bit of both. There was a couple of swims. And yeah, that upper mile was full on. And so we had a couple of people hike out and then, you know, ended the next one day I ended up with the raft on the back of my cat boat. So that's how we, you know, decided this is gonna, you know, be the best option as opposed to having to hike back down in there and get the boat. So that changed my dynamics. That took us about an hour on the side of the river. We had to slide the frame forward, loosened up all the straps, you know, and threw a 140-pound raft on the back of a cat boat for a day run. Yeah. But that's how that stuff goes sometimes. And then the other person that was in that raft, actually that day they both hiked out and the first day one person hiked out and then Conrad R1'd it down the rest of the way. So
that's a hard run. 48 and Bridgeport's a legit, that's a hard, that's solid class 5 with,
yep.
Yeah. I'm assuming you guys did like 2 portages.
We did. So we portaged the upper part that was within the first mile there, the big one.
Yep. That big
and then we portaged 10 pin alley And that's
that one just long, kind of messy one halfway down.
It was a tight little slot on the right. And was there a third one that we did? I know there was two for sure. Yeah. And now I can't remember if there was a third one or not, but I think there was a third one. It was a small one though. It wasn't too bad. But the one was halfway down and it was just a tight slot. It was like a 6 to 8 foot pour over and it just had some weird currents in there. And, you know, Nate was like, it's kind of a 50-50. You know, oars are pretty tight in there. So we just said, let's just portage it. So we portaged that both days.
Here's a question from somebody watching. Do you ever use inland marine sealant for micro holes?
I have not, but I remember that name. That was a product that Judy used to carry at River Connection, was inland marine products. And yeah, I think that goes into your C7 valves. But the person to ask that question would be Sean Raquel at Goodwater Boatworks. That's a Shawnee question.
Inland, yeah, I'd definitely call Sean. Inland Marine. Although she's really busy. I'm not sure she's dying for a phone call about inland marine sealant.
True.
I think I found it here. On the internet,
the product,
it's this. I never have. Like I said,
I don't know that much about it. And you know, maybe call. So another couple of people to call is maybe Riley at Air, call Moravia's. Repair department. You know, those guys have both been in the industry for a long time. They're very knowledgeable. You know, they're boaters as well. So that might be a,
if you have, it depends what micro holes are. If it's just like a little hole, tear aid over the top.
Yes.
It'll last for a long time. A lot of people, when they say micro holes, they have a lot of tiny holes and their boat is like Swiss cheese.
Yep.
And I'm going to say you probably have a bad boat. I've had micro holes because in some of my boats because we used to lay them in the gravel, and if you do that a lot, like we had a gravel area for our warehouse, if you did a lot, you're getting micro holes. So don't lay your boat in the gravel. But if you're getting a lot of micro holes, maybe it's a bad fabric. That's what I'm gonna guess.
Or it's run its course. It's an old boat.
It's 20 years old and it's got micro holes and you can try that. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to tell you what to try. Don't follow my advice on repair.
Invest in a good pump.
Brandon asks, how do you portage 150 pound raft typically?
A raft it depends on the craft. It's usually your crew is going to come together. Your cat boat, your front and rear, usually with two people. You know, you might spin it around a couple of things in the water with your tag lines holding on to them. You know, chicken lines on rafts, you're pulling them up, and you know, basically your crew comes together. You know, if it's one person portaging, you're all coming together. If it's multiple people, you know, you're setting up at different places to assist, and it's just how runs like that go. You know, that's part of the adventure. It's fun. I'm like, wow, do I want to say it's fun? Like, yeah, I don't mind portaging.
I don't mind
being out there.
Portaging either, and I'll do it, but it's physical fitness. That's all I'm gonna say. Like if you're physically fit and you're out there in the woods having fun, you're just gonna muscle and do it. If you're not physically fit, it's torture. And so I'm gonna say physical fitness. Greg, you know what run I haven't done? I know you've done is the Grays. I am dying to do the Grays.
Yes.
And I just can never my timing never matches up with when it's running. But I know a friend who portaged one of the rapids. I think it's Super Bowl or Picnic. I don't know. There's some rapid that they port a long portage on the left. Were you there the day that Big Wave Dave got hurt?
No, I was. Okay. I was not on that trip. That was a couple of years prior. Okay.
I had a friend portage a capo on the left, and he was just like, I can fit it by himself. I physically, I'm physically fit. I can do this. I will just gut it out and do it. I'm happy to be out here. I'm stoked. I think about this a lot when I portage rafts and cat rafts. The choice is, do I do this rapid where I could get hurt, or can I physically do the thing where I don't have to worry about it? And he physically carried it. But I also have friends who are like, I can't portage. Like, I'm not physically fit to portage. So I'm going to run the thing, which could lead to getting hurt. And so I think for a lot of reasons, this sport, physical fitness is important. And one of them is portaging.
Very, very much so.
Yep. Okay. The last question. What's your favorite brand of raft? And you know, you cannot answer. I'm really curious because I think there's a lot of opinion out there and people want to hear. So like you can take a pass. But
I don't really have a favorite. I've run a lot of different crafts, and they've all got different features. My favorite is quality. You know, there's some bottom shelf manufacturers out there, and there's some top shelf manufacturers out there, and I'm a fan of the top shelf manufacturers. I like good stuff, and they've all, you know, got different things. You know, Air has great paddle boats, and you know, their Thorts, you can move them around, so it's great for R2ing. You know, Moravia has a sealed floor. I'd like to pump the floor up pretty hard on, you know, multi-days, and you know, have the benefits of a raft with a frame on it. You know, cat boats, I like Airs. I'm actually buying an 11-foot Sotar to go back down to California with. Wow. So they've all got different features, and it just depends on what you want to do as to what kind of boat you get for it.
Wait, do you say for cat boats, you like Airs?
I've run them a little bit.
Is this the new Idaho, Greg?
The what?
I don't remember you ever running Airs before.
Like I said, I've ran them a few times. I don't have Airs now. But I did like the way that they ran. And they're one of the top shelf, you know, manufacturers. They make a great quality product, and they stand behind it. So they've got a good boat.
And why are you getting a Sotar for California?
Because I wanted a smaller boat. I want to go probably 11 foot. Sotar makes a great 11 foot boat. It's got a water line on it. It's got 22 inch tubes. It's just a well-made boat. So I think with what I want to do down there, running a smaller frame, the next frame I build is probably going to be 30 or 32 inches in between the tubes with an 11-foot Sotar. So
if you haven't seen this yet, this is the capo that I designed for a wing.
Mm-hmm.
It's based off the 11-foot Sotar. Long water line.
Okay.
Similar tubes. Really close to you're thinking about the Dave Nissen Krieger tubes from Sotar.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking about Neil McKirk's. He had a design too that he was taking down there to South America that was a Sotar design. I'm not sure if they still have those prints around, but now, do those have any elf shoe in them at all? Do they have a little bit of kick? Or
they do. They do. It doesn't look like they do because the pointy ends have been taken away. It's like,
okay.
Like, think about it has a little bit, it has rocker. But it doesn't look like it because it doesn't have that big point sticking up.
Okay.
I always thought the point was silly. It's like, you know how sometimes you turn the cat and the point gets stuck on a rock?
Yep.
It's like if you just take the points off, you're going to be able to like sling by some rocks.
Does it have a tendency to climb out of holes, or does it kind of want to knife through the back of them? Because your flatter tubes will kind of, they'll slice through the wave as to where a blunt nose with a big curve on it, like the old Sotars, they want to climb. You know, it was very rare you'd even get splashed because there was just so much buoyancy in front of you, and that nose was so blunt that it would hit the bottom, and then it would just instantly, you know, climb up and over that pillow.
The nose isn't that blunt.
Okay.
Like, let me see if I can open the spec sheet here.
But you've ran it quite a bit.
I've ran it quite a bit. Yeah, yeah. I have the Sotar 11 in this thing.
And okay.
To me, they're comparable. But to me, I like the long water line on the 11 foot boats. Like, if it's a lot of rocker, like a short water line, they're just sketchy. They turn so fast.
Yeah, like they turn too fast.
Water line, they turn way too. You need to be able to hold an angle sometimes.
Yeah, and so I agree.
Do you see? There's a bit of kick there. It's just like a little, just that like little tip is cut off.
Okay. And
so it's just like a tiny bit, just one less thing to tag on rocks. But anyways, we're checking out. I'm pretty stoked on this boat. It's the only capo that Wing makes is this 11 footer.
Okay.
And it's for that kind of thing you were talking about, like very maneuverable, narrow drops. Like, I don't know. I'm a fan. I like this boat a lot.
You but taking it down the wind, I'm sure.
Yeah, a bunch.
Okay. Yeah. And enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. It doesn't surf amazing because it has the long water line. It surfs.
Sure.
But it for just run like running down the river, it's pretty straightforward.
Cool. I will look into that because that's my next boat's an 11 footer.
But yeah, I mean the runs you guys were doing in California this spring. What else did you guys do other than the South Yuba?
We did Kybers, mm-hmm. Which was a tributary, I think, to the South Fork American, or
no, it's actually South Fork American.
Oh, okay, so it's just a section of it. Okay. So we ran that. That was a great run. I think that was running around 2000, maybe 23.
That's juicy.
Oh, it was a great run. It kind of had a Locksaw feel to it, but it wasn't because it was, you know, 2000, but it was like, wow, this has got long bubble lines. It's kind of retentive. It's in the trees. It's
steep and continuous.
Yep. So then we ran the North Fork of the American, the Chamberlain section. Yep. And that was all I got the chance to run. So I actually went down there. I was down there for 4 days and then I came back, to Oregon, did a big loop, saw some family, met up with some friends, did a Deschutes overnighter, and then made my way back to Idaho. So next year I was like, okay, I'm going to stay for the whole thing next year. But they did the Giant Gap section. They did that the day that I left and then hit a couple other ones, that I didn't get it, that I don't remember either. So,
I mean, those that 11 foot cat would be ideal for Fortinet Bridgeport.
Nice.
Like those runs, North Fork American, Fortinet Bridgeport, Kybers.
Yep.
For California capoating, I would think there's 11. I was not a capoater when I lived in California. So,
okay.
I love to go back. I've did a little bit of it, but I've mainly like rafted and kayaked. I'd love to go back now with the capo. And do more of those runs, but those 11 footers would be sweet.
Well, put it on your radar. I know you got a lot going, especially in springtime. I think he does it mid-April.
We are booked solid teaching classes.
I thought you would be.
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. I can't put anything else on my calendar in the spring. I heard a rumor that he might do it up here, which would be cool. It's just like I could probably get away for a day here and there, but man, we are just booked solid. So it's hard to do anything.
Got it.
Well, Greg, that's the end of the show. That's all the questions. And I'm trying to keep these things under 45 minutes. We just passed 45 minutes. Do you have anything you want to promote or talk about before we close this thing down?
No, the one, I guess recent news, let's touch bases on recent news. I want to get your takes. how do you feel about Andy and Bax closing down?
I mean, there's the political side of it. I could talk about how Portland's falling apart and I don't know much about it, but I'm blaming Portland falling apart on its closing down. So we get into the politics of it, which we probably shouldn't.
Right.
I feel like Andy and Bax was just such a huge part of the community. It's obviously a bummer. And now there's nowhere to go shopping in Portland for stuff.
To put your hands on stuff. Right.
Which doesn't matter anymore because I don't go shopping anymore.
Right.
Like I live in Hood River, so I'm not going to drive an hour to go to Andy and Bax. I used to just go there to hang out sometimes and like, I don't know, like pick up something. But now I just like buy everything online. Like I don't even bother going to shops.
Yeah. So tell me, so on this note, and I've got one too, we all do. Yeah. Tell me a special story or something that you loved about that place or something that, you know, made you a better boater, or you learned or somebody you met or
I mean,
a little bit of history from Andy and Bax.
You know, I don't have the history that Andy and Bax everybody else does because I live an hour away.
Okay.
But for me, it would be just going down there and just just feeling the vibe a little bit and hanging out. But my, I would say my closest association with it is IK racing against Riley and
right
at Clackfest. And so I think that, you know, I love Clackfest and I was a part of organizing it for a while. And so Andy Bax has like, was massive supporters of the festival for the whole, for 20 plus years, probably. I mean, they're like a big reason the festival exists, and they would go there and they'd host a barbecue and they gave so much to the festival. But for me, it's sitting in the eddy at the IK race, you know, staring down Riley. And we're both competitive. I'm not there just like, I'm there to win. And several years of, and it's for those who don't know, Andy and Bax is a longtime rafting store in Portland. And Riley, it's Riley Baxter. He was the son of the guy who started it, right? Like it's Andy and Baxter, yes. Baxter. So Riley took it over and ran it for a long time. He was ran Andy and Bax. Awesome boater, awesome dude. But we're both competitive. So for me, it's sitting in that eddy at Fish Creek. Just like, let's do this, Riley.
We're ready to go. That,
like, my, when I think of Andy Bax, I think of racing Riley.
Nice. Mine was the going down there in the basement, seeing Riley, visiting with him, the pictures on the wall.
Yeah.
And going through, they had a picture album that was on like the poster flip boards. And they had all of the pictures and stuff in there dating back to years past in Clackfests. Cause I think it started in the 80s or early, I think it was late 80s or mid 80s.
It's like 20, I think it's 30 years old now, 31, 30 ish years old. They're no more than that.
I think it's older than that. Yeah.
So probably 1980.
But I had the chance to recently, I went down there and this was a couple years ago and, was talking with Ted and was down there with my dad and we were, you know, just kind of BSing and, you know, introduced myself to Ted cause I'd never met him before. And he's like, oh, you know, I've heard of you. And I'm like, well, I've heard of you, you know? And so we got this great conversation going and he whipped out this picture that they got disqualified in the R6 race at Clackfest because they had a 12 volt battery and a bilge pump in their bucket boat. And they were trying to hide it. And he's showing me the picture of this. And he's like, yeah, when they found out about it, we got disqualified. But I'm like, I don't know. That, I didn't see that in the rule book. That sounds like somebody that really wants to win to me.
I mean, I feel like if it's not in the rule book, they should let it flow, let it go.
But yep.
Then they should put it in the rule book.
After that, right.
But also, if you are hiding things, you should expect to get this to get disqualified.
Well, that's a good point too. Yeah, like, but you know, there's been a lot of competitive nature at that festival for a lot of years. Yeah. So yeah, it's a super bummer. There was a lot of history down there. You know, a lot of people started, and I've been seeing the online buzz going. And you know, I've reached out to Ted a couple of times, and you know, touch bases with him. And it's just sad to see, you know, something like that go, because there was a lot of history, and there was a lot of things that, you know, that helped and promoted the sport.
Yep. It's for me, it's like some of the politics of Portland, some of the changing retail landscape.
Yeah. I don't think there was any one thing. It's just sad to see it go. It's just another one of those iconic things that it's like, oh man, that's a bummer. But yeah, a lot of memories and a lot of good stuff down there. So yep. Right on, Zach. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It was great catching up with you again.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll see you to put in this winter if the rain's flowing. Make a run over there.
You better join. John and I are now the gentleman's club, so we need a third. So anytime you want to come out, please do.
If there's storms on the radar, it's a Thursday. I could drive.
There will be. Well, cool. So. I'm going to shut this one down. Again, thanks, Griff, for joining.
All right. Thanks again, Zach. Appreciate it.